Two ways of going about it, either to dumb it down or to stretch your mind. So today, he decided that he would stretch your minds. So he wants you to pay, I'm just going to talk a little bit before him. He wants you to pay very acute attention to what he has to say. He doesn't talk loudly, those of you who know him. So if you're sitting in the back, you might want to come forward so that you'll hear him better. But he Sheikh Rashid, the one thing I have always admired about him is that when you ask him to do something, he prepares himself very well. And he takes a lot of time to think about, you know, what the subject of the discussion is going to be, and just many, many facets of it. And he's very, very well prepared for his talks. So unlike many speakers who kind of talk off the cuff, including myself, he prepares his talk very carefully. And so you really need to listen if you want to hear what he has to say. So again, if you're sitting in the back, you know, try and come forward so you can hear him the best, and pay attention to what he has to say, inshallah. And let's read Fatiha all together before he begins, inshallah.
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا
You never look at it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, let's thank Sheikh Nuruddin for not only inviting me back and being a good brother and best friend of mine, but also making excuses for my porous mind by giving a raison d'être for my being able to have notes. What was I just saying? Well, I'm doing the notes. Thank you very much. Everybody out there who's coming in, I know I have a little crew coming in too from somewhere. So. And I'm very grateful for this center to be here. Sheikh Nuruddin and I have talked for a number of years about having a place where Muslim young people can come and feel comfortable with each other, and men and women can speak to one another, and they can share ideas, can seek their inner spiritual growth and development. And he acted on that, as he does on most things that he, if not everything that I know that he thinks about, he acts on. And the proof of the benefits lie in the young students who are being helped here, the older students who are helping to help the younger ones. The proof lies in the young students who are being helped here, tutored. The older students who are from UVA, mostly I gather, who are helping to tutor them. And the community efforts to maintain this zalia and the intention of it, alhamdulillah. I'm also very hopeful that it'll grow. Inshallah. Ana Aldo Bivasil, que were made Sajik or Bikorbik. Mean Tardik will be Kabulik and Rain Radik, which I am the mean Ahli to Attic, Warik, or Anhil, and the Shukrik or the Hamdik, Yarham Rahameen. O Allah, we take refuge with your connections from your exclusion, and with your nearness from your dismissal, and with your acceptance from your rejection. Include us among those whose obedience and love are devoted to you, and make us worthy of giving thanks and praise to you, O most merciful of mercifuls. I think from the opening duo you can see Brother Timothy and I, and I don't know why, but I suspect Sheikh Nuruddin are on the same track today. I'd like to thank my Brother Timothy, who is not here right now, but for his good talk today, his beginning of a presentation on opposites. And today I'd like to speak to you, and as Sheikh Nuruddin mentioned to you, I'd like you to pay attention closely, not because I'm so brilliant, but rather because I'm so dull. And I probably could have written this in two paragraphs, but then I get paid by the hour, don't I, Sheikh Nuruddin? I'd like to speak to you on understanding change and transformation from the perspective of traveling in the Alam al-Amr, which I translate as the realm of divine decree, and the Alam al-Khalaq, the realm of creation. The second one we're more familiar with. The spiritual journey of the Sufi is a journey of seeking a sustainable harmony and balance in life between inner and outer through the foundational principles and practices of Islam, and through recognizing the reflective nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's creation, with the inner realities of the human being. And so we were given as our guideline today, Allah does not change the grace He has bestowed on a people until they change what is in themselves. And by the end of this talk, I hope we look at that in a slightly different way than I think most of us tend to look at. As indicated in this ayat, interchange by its very nature causes a reflection on the outer, the societal, the personal harmony, which we seek to achieve through understanding integral relationships between these two aspects of life, the zahir and the batin, the outer and the inner. Moment-to-moment awareness of this relationship between the inner and the outer is a process that creates the opportunity for what I'm calling sustainable change, and therefore, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, personal and social transformation. And I'll try to make clear that understanding this relationship between the outer world and one's inner being, the relationship between the other and the self, is necessary for both spiritual and social progress. Indeed, sustainable, positive, personal, social transformation can only come about through such harmony and realization of the inherent reciprocity of this universe. And what is manifest in the realm of creation clearly and obviously is seen to reflect the realm of the divine decree. Throughout this talk, you'll hear certain words, certain concepts, such as sustainability, which you've heard twice already, constancy, safety and security, consistency, the word semiotic, universality, and self-organizing universe. These words may sound quite modern or even postmodern, but I hope that as you hear them, you'll begin to realize then in absolutely every age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us examples and gives us language that fits the time and the place and the circumstance. Language that affirms, language that reinforces constant and essential relationships, as well as ayah, signs that reflect the reciprocity between the inner and the outer world. The point, counterpoint between the realm of divine decree and the realm of creation is often found in Quran and Islamic teachings. It's a pivotal point in Sufism because it not only underlines the unity of the Creator and His creation, but it also gives us a means for understanding its subtle reflection in our life, which is, of course, the foundation of becoming constantly aware of a divine presence. In the Quran, Allah says, He is the first and the last and the manifest and the concealed, and He knows all things. Clearly, He wants us to have this knowledge of this point counter. For sustainable change and progress, there has to be an understanding of this point. The personal relationship between the inner and the outer is reflected many times over in the teachings of Islam. The inner of the alam al-amr, the realm of divine decree, one finds the practice of muhasaba, and the alam of accounting for oneself. In the alam al-khalaq, the outer, this takes the outer form of Islam. The inner practice of muraqabah is transferred in the outer to iman, and the inner attainment of mushahada, witnessing, becomes ihsan, or transparency, through seeing Allah in everything, if not knowing, with a deep conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you in the alam al-akhlaq. On a larger level, these same concepts are reflected in society in a similar way. The individual, personal ethic of Islam and belief manifests itself in society as security and peace. The self-awareness in iman, faith, developed through muraqabah, creates social stability, while the individual's ihsan maintains that stability or sustains it. And at the same time, the manifest morality and ethic of the society is reflected inwardly in the level of transparency of the individual seeker, whatever that may be, as Brother Timothy talked about this morning in another way. These fundamental principles of Irfan or Sufism or Tasawwuf are couched in the dynamic universe of Marifa, of Gnosis, and upon this boundless, endless truth, which we call Hakika. Let's look at this concept in another way. There's an intrinsic harmony and reciprocity in the universe. In English, we use the phrase, as above, so below. In the Naqshbandi Tariqa, we speak of travel both inward and outward. In Quran, this is described in one way as, and to Allah belong the east and west, and whichever direction you turn, there is the presence of Allah. Truly, Allah is vast and all-knowing. In our life, these teachings mean that everything in the outer is a sign, an ayah, of the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. Every outward manifestation draws from its reciprocal in the inner. Think for a moment about the changing of the seasons that was happening before winter returned today. It's spring, and daffodils and hyacinths are blooming, leaves are budding, new life is coming up everywhere around us. We recognize that, and we resonate with this manifestation in the outer world inwardly, because we feel ourselves responding with an inner sense of renewal, the new inspiration. We rejuvenate it. We feel perhaps that there's a rebirth in the outer world that is somehow symbolic of our own inner potential for change and for renewal, and this outer is the reciprocal of the inner. Allah says in Quran, do you not see that Allah is whom everyone in the heavens and earth glorify? And even the birds with outstretched wings, each knows its prayer of glorification. Everything is a testimony. Everything is a glorification. And it's in this relatedness, this nishba, we call that, affords us the opportunity for a balance and harmony, mizan. This point between the two, the inner and the outer, is a place of harmony and clarity, a doorway, if you will. And when this is achieved as a conscious and stable, constant and consistent state, and the light, the newer, remains unrestricted, then we achieve this diaphony, this transparency. The word, I choose the word diaphony and diaphanetic for a reason. Because it doesn't just mean transparent, it also means delicate. And it's because it means delicate, it is exemplifying in nature, it implies a strength, like a spider web is delicate, but strong. The wings of a butterfly are delicate and transparent, or translucent, and strong. And so we're talking about a transparency that is delicate and reflective of the sensitivity and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful, yet sustainable and strong. And how this is achieved within us, we will discuss to some extent, I hope, today. But for now, I'll say that it's achieved through very focused practices and the knowledge and the understanding that comes from conscious, consistent, striving, yearning to be awake, to see, to know. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seek out knowledge from the cradle to the grave. And it's inherent. Any of us who have a baby, we know. Don't tell the baby to stop seeking out knowledge. Before it knows language, it's seeking out knowledge. Cannot understand you to tell them to stop. It's inherent, intrinsic. And so in our search for understanding, we shouldn't be confused by the relationship between the outer and the inner world. There are serious differences, of course, between the distortions that are symptomatic of the realm of creation and the realities of the realm of the divine decree. In Western political ideology, tension between apparent opposites is usually perceived as undesirable and abnormal. It is generally thought that these apparent opposites have to be resolved rather than valued, just as paradoxes are thought to be relationships that must be fixed. But this approach is contrary to nature, where learning often takes place through opposites. The fitra, or the fundamental, essentially good nature of the human being, is uncovered through opposites. Compassion emerges from the heart when pain or suffering is detected in others. Mercy manifests where there is hopelessness and helplessness. Perseverance is needed where there is self-doubt and impatience. And from the perspective of spiritual life, the opposites of change and continuity frame the fundamental need for safety and security and stability. Indeed, the interplay between change and continuity in a directed self-organizing system such as Sufism leads to safety and stability, which is Islam in reality, not just name. Since Sufic thought and practice is non-linear, it can successfully and simultaneously address on different levels of action, understanding, and consciousness throughout a multidimensional process of personal transformation. The transformation of the nafs, the self, the ego, that leads to a transparent and free individual is in a large part the removal of accumulated cultural and environmental conditioning that has narrowed the boundaries of an individual's vision and tempered his or her inherent ability to perceive beyond the history and the conditioning of his or her state or station, hal or maqam. The process of the sair or saluk, which we call traveling through the stations in an infinite spiritual journey, development of a seeker, is in modern terms a process of learning how to be present and comprehensive in vision. In scientific terms, it reflects what the scientists are looking at in a quantum view of physical reality, a view where there are distinctively different realities of time and space, non-linearity, non-locality, simultaneity, and apparently different realities that exist at once in multidimensional universes. And when seen from the perspective of the Alam al-Amr, just begins to explain the multidimensionality, the omnipresence, and totally referred to by us is Allah. Beyond form, yet present. Beyond time, yet operant. Beyond understanding, yet able to be sensed or tasted by an inner resonance and harmony. This transformative process reveals a self that is conscious of itself, reflective of the attributes of Allah, and free of distraction and ego. And we learn how to see and live holistically or systemically. Unconscious actions and responses to life become conscious and meaningful choices based on what is here and now right before us. We can see reflected in our life and in creation that which is beyond this creation, just as there is ocean within and outside of a crystal glass that is submerged in the ocean. The crystal glass can be us then. Here, in this thin, brief reality, transparent, holding the ocean, yet being held by the ocean at the same time. The ocean is the ocean of love, which was discussed today already, out of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and manifested his attributes of compassion and mercy and forgiveness and justice and love and patience and perseverance and nobility and time and space and beauty and majesty. And when my worshippers ask you about me, so know that I am near. I answer the call of the caller when he calls me, so let them be. Let them respond to me and believe in me so that they may be rightly guided. So in contemplating the possibilities of change and transformation, we have to keep in mind the backdrop of societal forces and what sometimes we call the transcended myth, or we call culture, and our own preconceptions, often preconceptions, most often, that are results of our cultural heritage and upbringing and our societal station. The continuum of responses to the idea of social and personal transformation is influenced by cultural constructs about change. And sometimes change is viewed as good for its own sake, while at others, change in all forms is considered negative. And so we need to radically alter the way in which we perceive change. As seekers, we must abandon the idea of rapid, radical change and pursue slow, constant, directed change. And in this way, positive change does become a sustainable transformation. Indeed, all of our society pushes us to make rapid decisions, make rapid changes, respond, if not react, to the immediacy. But we have to be open to the idea that in some instances also, no change is best. For example, change for change's sake is a negative concept spiritually when contemplating love, when contemplating justice, when contemplating truth. One wouldn't want to be living in a society where just the idea of change dominated adjustments in those concepts in our minds, let alone in our societal rules or laws. And especially this is true in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our love of Allah, or love in our heart. The assumption that all change is good is just incorrect. It's like assuming that all innovation is good or bad. The concept of change can be quite disturbing and misleading in the hands of ideologues. Bid'ah, innovation, can also be bid'ah hasana, beautiful innovation, beautiful. Exemplified, of course, by, if nothing other more obvious, than the innovation of sunnah prayer. That every day we see political and ideological innovation that is motivated by greed and fear and a myriad of other materialistic motivations. The distinction is that bid'ah hasana, which is unfortunately is much less practiced and less recognized by most individuals, emerges out of a desire to participate in the transformation of ourself, the evolution of our soul, the recognition of the presence of the divine in our day-to-day life. Moreover, to create or co-create a sustainable and positive future in joining that which is good and forbidding that which is wrong, maruf and munkar, as stated by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hadith, he who inaugurates a good sunnah in Islam earns the reward of it, and all who perform it after him without diminishing their own reward in the slightest. So the motivation for transformation is stated clearly by Prophet Muhammad to good change, change for the good. The irony here is that resistance to change on the part of fundamentalists, pick your religion, may be inherently correct, albeit grossly misguided in form and purpose. Seeking change outwardly as a solution to inner problems is often, if not always, counterproductive to the necessary communal and individual process, a collaborative process that guarantees the rights and voices of all parties. But of course, that is not the intention of most fundamentalists in the world today. When we ask ourselves what the ultimate purpose of social change is and what way we can change society, we're eventually led to contemplate and understand the inseparability of this inner and outer. And without the other, one without the other will not bring about any kind of a real or lasting transformation. In today's socio-political world, the concept of change agents has been introduced and lauded. Like most new ideas or phrases, it emerges with a good intention, but not necessarily any level of understanding. Who are the real change agents? What role does a change agent really play in society or in our personal lives? If change in this case implies some type of intervention or breaking of cultural patterns, who can one trust to do this? And how do they become empowered to do it? Most social change agents organize constructs through only promoting social change in the framework of the material forces and cause-effect relationships. Often manipulating goods and consumable items, they neglect the whole area of consciousness and do not see at all the parallel inner and outer universes that need to be harmonized. The Sufi, however, realizes the relationship between the practices and the outer world, the outer reflection upon itself, oneself, and the divine intention in everything. Muhasaba, Muraqaba, Mushahada. We live in a world that is split, fragmented. There are positive and negative results from promoting change. We look at political philosophy today, and the war in Iraq is a prime example. However, when the relationship between the outer and the inner aspects of change are really understood, attention can be focused on the goal of positive spiritual transformation of each of us, of every individual, and a social transformation that promotes the justice that Sheikh was talking about, and the love, and the compassion, and mutual respect, and tolerance, and perseverance, and success. In this way, outer social change is analogous to inner spiritual transformation. And the subtlety is clearly exemplified just in the name Islam. The common translation submission implies a higher power and guidance that will change us from imperfect, desire-driven beings to spiritually enlightened servants, conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of our life. We also should not forget that Islam comes from the root salama, which also means safety and security. So again, this parallel between the outer and the inner life begins to be obvious. Sufic Islam is about security and stability as it exists on the border between the outer and the inner realities of our everyday life, at the crossroads of meanings where peace emerges quite naturally and emerges from the inner world, from the alam al-aman, to the outer world. And this quite naturally statement is very important. It's not forced. By the turning of one's attention toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a sincere way, through practices which are progressive, through a means of using our physical abilities, our emotional states, our intentional abilities, our mental abilities in the service of others, in the service of this creation that we find ourselves in, quite naturally, peace comes, change comes, and we are transformed. We cross over the borderline of confusion into a place of more understanding and sincerity and peace. And so it's important to realize that it was Allah that placed Islam in the realm of symbols, semiotics, and thus encouraged us to look beyond the obvious, to see His creation and to contemplate His presence in terms of signs, ayah, and symbols, Allah. In this case, semiotics is the study of signs and symbols of all kinds, especially often in writing, what they mean, how they relate to the things or ideas they refer to. In Arabic, the word ayah means symbol, sign, miracle, model, as well as referring to the verses of the Quran, which are solemn assurances of love and gratitude, justice and mercy of Allah. In Arabic, the word meaning symbol is alam. As you know, alam also means world, or universe, cosmos, as in Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds. But furthermore, we are human beings, and we human beings are implied symbols by the word, use of the word Al-Mun. Well, this is a very, if you follow it, it's a very shattering concept that everything, or enlightening concept, everything, including us, are symbols. And what is important to realize is that cognizance itself, and indeed the attributes of Allah, the attribute of Allah as omniscient, also reflects this symbolic relationship, as indicated by the word Alim and Al-Alim, of which there is no plural. Allah. The process of teaching, instruction, is captured by the word ta'alim, and the course, and of course the word ulama means the specialist and expert scholar. So you see this outer and inner meaning just in these two concepts, presenting a world that Allah has presented to us as a world of symbols and signs, which includes us. We're not just observers to these symbols and signs. We are also symbols and signs. And from the fact that Allah says that I am Rabbil Alameen, means that whatever life in this universe exists in the physical, I don't know, khalaq, in the universes, as endless as they may be, are also ayah of Allah, or alam of Allah. Every existent being, though they look like lizards, three light years away, or they look like us in another planetary system, or whatever we find, it's all the same. And the fact that the Quran is related by word to the heart and the mind of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further emphasizes that Islam seeks personal change through signs and relationships by approaching personal and social change as this semiotic phenomenon. We can see that Islam, and most specifically Sufism, points to a direct, different, and more subtle awareness and understanding of the ultimate cause in nature and self, the Creator, Al-Alim, and offers us an approach to ethics that studies action with relation to the ultimate purpose of those ethics. And this is reflected not only by seeking meanings of the symbols in creation, but also in the knowledge of our own origin, the omniscience within. over and over in Quran, Allah reminds us of his signs. The word ayat, sign, communication, revelation, verse of Quran, is used 287 times in the Quran. Surely the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and the day. Hear this as all is signs. Hear all is signs and symbols. And that means, hear it, that everything is being presented as a means for us to know Allah and to know ourselves. Everything before our very sight. Everything that we experience every day in our life. Everything that we know about ourselves or other. Surely the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of the night and the day, and the ships that run the seas with what is useful to people, all the things, and the water Allah has sent down from the heavens, reviving the earth after she has been lifeless, we will have our opposites again, and scattering in her all kinds of beasts, and in the changing of the winds, and the submission of the clouds between the heavens and the earth, are signs for people who understand. One of the clearest signs of Allah is illustrated in the process of life itself, in the phenomenon of transformation from the drop of sperm to the egg to the complex and fully developed human being conceived out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for creation and for his creatures. Conception and completion, change and transformation, change and continuity are interdependent states of this phenomenon of life. Therefore, our yearning to change, our sense of transforming of the self, is quite understandable and normal. It perhaps may be the only reality and the reason for our existence. In Quran, Allah speaks many times about the miracle of life as a sign for us to remember. Truly, we created mankind from a drop of sperm, intermingled, that we might test him, and we made him hearing, seeing. Truly, we have guided him to the way, whether he be grateful or cover up the truth. Allah also reminds us in Quran, surely the creation of the heavens and the earth is greater than the creation of people, but most people do not know. To the Sufi, there are cornerstones of progress or personal transformation. You might call them signs. Continuity of practice and stability of character is on one corner. Intention, niyyah, on the other corner. Islam defined as surrender, safety, security, on the other corner. And consciousness itself manifest in gratitude and humility on the fourth corner. They are both attitudinal, internal, and external manifestations of what we call Islam, if we understand Islam. These four corners define a fertile ground of love, which is positive change, and can be motivated by desire, love itself, necessity, divine will, evolution, and even apparent randomness or disorder and chaos. We heard about disorder and chaos in Brother Timothy's house today. Yes? And basically he was talking about motivation for change coming from disorder and chaos. Right? Every one of these we can talk about independently. Each one is a long talk. Stability and consistency are fundamentally necessary for peace in the inner and the outer. They are cornerstones in spiritual awakening and transformation. And they can't really be socially sustainable, any kind of socially sustainable peace and justice without spiritual values and goals in a society. And even if those values are articulated in humanistic rather than religious terms, they don't have to be coded in religious terms. In my other nonprofit organization, Legacy International, where we work internationally in conflict resolution, in leadership training, in diversity training, in environment and development, in civil society infrastructure, many, many things that we work in Central Asia and Middle East and Russia, Ukraine and Indonesia, all the world, we come to a certain basic, I should say, assumption. An assumption which unfortunately I see has been challenged in my own mind recently. And that assumption is that when you can get to the core values with individuals, we all share them. Essential human values. From there we can build respect, mutual respect, understanding, we can advocate different types of understanding of political systems as long as they are reliable, as long as they serve the individuals, as long as there's mutual understanding, as long as there is service to humanity in its most general form and most specific form, as long as there's justice, etc., etc. What I've come to realize recently, as an aside, that among certain fundamentalists, most specifically Muslim and Christian fundamentalists, that includes a small group of Jewish fundamentalists too, I'm sure, but they're a small population, there's no agreement on universal values because there's no desire for building bridges of understanding. And this is something which is totally against the natural inclination that I'm trying to describe today in a slightly complex way. This is totally against the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Totally against this balance, this call from the outer to know the inner, this call from the inner to understand who we are and where we are and why we are where we are, doing what we do in the outer world. There are forces today that in the outer, for example, want to keep us in a war because it serves certain material purposes. We can call it the military-industrial complex or whatever you want to call it. Similarly, there are forces internally in people that they have internalized these concepts to try to override the natural inclination of human beings to find their way back to the truth and to keep separation between people. And so sustainable social change has to include innovative understanding of the role of culture and myth and knowledge and the effective result of spiritual attention. Stability, as in sustainability, reflects permanence and constancy and firmness and that consistency I've been talking about, which is deep and reliable and coherent and harmonious. These concepts have to be rejected out of hand by fundamentalist thinking. And I use the word fundamentalist in the common sense of the use of the word today, not in the proper use of it where fundamentalist good, basically. It is not rejected out of hand. And to reject it out of hand means that no one should have any kind of a practice. No one should be encouraged in any way to reflect upon themselves. To reflect upon creation as signs of God. Because after all, if everything in creation is a symbol and a sign of Allah, it's available to everybody. It doesn't have a Christian borderline, it doesn't have a Muslim borderline, it doesn't have a Jewish borderline, it has no border. It's open for everybody. Allah is everywhere. He's the Lord of East and West. Wherever you look, there is the face of Allah. And so, to use political terms that I have to deal with in my other work, it's fascist. It's anti-intellectual. It's against structure, except imposed structure. It's non-creative, non-artistic. Yes? And we see those forces. Don't listen to music. Don't dance. Don't hold hands. What was he saying? If it feels good, you must be wrong. Huh? Now, if I say don't dance, don't listen to music, don't hold hands, you know, and don't talk to anybody out of the context of a public gathering, That's going to sound very familiar to somebody from Falwell's church in Lynchburg, and very familiar to some Muslims, right? You tell me the difference. The hardest thing for many seekers is maintaining stability and consistency in practices. And many who embrace spirituality as a novelty are obsessed with self-fulfillment, self-expression, and are missing the opportunity for purposeful and meaningful life-transforming experiences that comes from committing to regular, humble, significant self-evaluation, self-reflection, an attitude of humility, an attitude of gratitude. Most of us look at ourselves through a self-constructed image anyway, and the problem with most postmodern spirituality, which segregates the inner from the outer, is that it denies the truth of man. Man arafa nafsahu rabbahu, arafa rabbahu. He who knows himself knows his Lord. This statement of inherent unity is in harmony with the dynamic statement attributed to Prophet Isa, alayhi salam, change me, O Lord, not my circumstance. The opposite of the postmodern attitude, change my circumstance and leave me as I am, O Lord, please. And without regularity and continuity, there would be not enough constancy in any process to even recognize change, let alone determine if it was good or bad, constructive or destructive. And if change is a fundamental nature of reality, it is a flux that doesn't necessarily mean radical transformation. Instead, life is a balance of these two opposite states, stability and change, security and risk, necessity and freedom of choice. And within these many dichotomies, constancy, sincerity, stability, turn positive change into transformation. That's why I'm repeating those words so much today. I'm repeating those words because for me to remember them, I have to repeat them to myself a lot. They form a basis where we can ask, does this action I'm about to take, does it sound like this morning's talk? Does this action that I'm about to take sustain me in a positive way? Is it something in its constancy that will develop my inner being? Will it create a continuity that others can follow? My children, my grandchildren, society at large? Will it be a continuity of good? That's why I'm repeating them over and over again from every point of view that I can. And just as in the Quran, emphasis is made by repetition or use of different words with similar meaning, so too must we emphasize order and regularity, repetition and remembrance in our lives. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Allah, 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 Allah. Yes, it's wonderful, it's transformational, but there's a real inner scientific meaning behind it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Let's not deify the words. Let's deify the deity. The Haq, the truth. And do they not see how Allah begins creation and then repeats it? Surely that is easy for Allah. What a great ayah. I just discovered that ayah this week. I mean, I read it before, obviously. But I discovered it. You know, it was covered up in my head. And I discovered it. Or recovered it. No, I didn't recover it. That would make me a... That would make me a... what do you think? No, yeah. Huh? Making a guy who covers furniture, what do you call that? Upholstery. All change is not transformation, nor is it radical altering of states or qualities of character. It's only stability between stability and change that one can find a transformative balance between the inner and the outer. We're all seeking to live on that perch between the two. don't know if I told this story the last time I was here about the, did I tell about the bird in the cage? There's this bird, of course, a beautiful bird, and people like birds, and I like to collect birds, and many people have birds in their homes, and sometimes you leave the window open and a bird gets in your house. There's a robin that's trying to get through a window at our place, because for the reason that Brother Timothy told us today, that robin isn't married yet. And she's looking, you know. And as in just like in people, she may break her neck seeking her mate. The concepts of change and transformation are concepts that look to the past and envision a better future. But if you're like my bird in a cage, who's been there for a long time, he's fed and gets his paper changed every day, and because it doesn't take him long to read the paper. And they open up the gates of the cage, and the bird is flying around all the time, lands on the door of the cage, and doesn't go any further. Doesn't know about the world outside the cage. And all of a sudden, everything that it wanted, it's not too sure it wants. If we want to attribute any kind of consciousness to the bird. And so you have to go behind that bird and you're going to go with your hand like that and scare the bird out of the cage to find out that it's free. We constantly draw on our origin, on our personal and our societal history in forming our future out of the ever-present now, becoming aware of the presence of the divine. Allah Hazri, Allah Nazri, Allah Shahadi, Allah Ma'ayi. Allah is present with me, looking at me, seeing me, and with me. And the practices, muraqabah, meditation, Quran recitation and study, the process of a dars like today, or suhbet like today, allow us to repeatedly go back to the ever-present origin for just a better start. Quite a human tendency. Yet how many of you have gone on a trip, come home and say, here's my chance, I can start again. I can make this effort again. Perfect. And whether we're looking at personal transformation or social transformation, we are looking at the same whole and only directing our focus either outward or inward. The more one does this, the more one truly realizes the truth of the absolute immediacy of La ilaha illallah. The more we stand at the point of meeting, at the vertex of these two apparent worlds, the inner and the outer world, the more we are prepared to move to the next intersection, the intersection of the here and the hereafter. The more we do these things that I'm describing, the more transformed we become. Spiritual transformation as an outgrowth of positive change must be based on accepting this quantum reality of simultaneity, diaphanity, transparency, change, constancy, inner and outer. Simultaneity, when grasped, resolves the issues of zaman and makan, of time and of place, through a return to a condition of timelessness and spiritual awakening and enlightenment and unity. All shines through, nur in nur, the nur upon nur, the light upon the light. And in this sense, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illuminates the outer and the inner. And this diaphanity or this transparency that is delicate yet strong is the reality of our spirit, of the spiritual in our lives. Let's not forget Allah's beautiful description of that light in Surah Nur. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. A likeness of His light is a niche in which there is a lamp, the lamp within a glass. The glass is like a pearly white star, lit from the oil of a blessed tree, an olive tree, neither of the east nor the west, whose oil but glows, though no fire touches it. Light upon light, Allah guides to His light whom He chooses. We are that crystal glass, potentially, in the ocean, holding the ocean and being held by. Before I end, let me give a precaution. In our attempt to understand the role of change and transformation in this journey, we shouldn't forget that Sufism, or indeed any mystical path, is strongly process-oriented. That is not to say there is no goal. Certainly, from a teleological perspective, there is a very clear spiritual goal, but goal orientation often forces people to compromise their own values to achieve a material end. Those who undertake change from the perspective of the preservation of culture, and in this case, I mean an attitude toward the material world, find themselves in a deconstructive process that emphasizes individuation. While those who undertake change from the perspective of origin, not beginning, but being, who are seeking to be aware of the divine presence, the presence of Allah, find themselves in a constructive process that emphasizes the collective or the community. Almost all mystical paths stress the individual as part of a greater whole and equate personal change with communal change. And this concept reaches the epitome of refinement in Islam with the association of each individual with the Ummah, the community of believers. Every prayer has its root in the Jama'at. Group worship, while an element of each prayer, is private and separate, yet still within the group. Efforts to separate an individual from the group process always has negative results. So in conclusion, let's return to the beginning and look once more at the quote, Allah does not change the grace He has bestowed on a people until they change what is in themselves. It means that those who act within the essential goodness that they were created in, the ni'mat of Allah, a word in Arabic that has virtually only positive constructive meanings. Those who act within the essential goodness that they were created in, Allah will leave them in a state of grace. But when individuals or groups of individuals change by choice, which Allah has given us, what is in themselves, that is through selfish acts, acts of self-deception or deception of others, then they fall from grace, or Allah removes the ni'mah from them. And if you choose the sufficiency of Allah, then you are safe. But by covering the signs, the ayati lillahi, by failing to recognize the signs of the relationship between the inner and the outer, by failing to recognize that all these are ayat of Allah, that everything is symbolic of Allah, including ourselves, the presence of Allah is in everything, people fall away to, quote, sin. So these two statements in Quran, the second being, truly Allah does not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves, are not the same. They're reciprocal statements. The first one says that Allah doesn't remove His grace until you remove yourself from that grace. The second one, in the Surah Al-Ra'd, says, but the way back to that grace is by changing yourself back. And so I took you through a long journey in your head today, I'm sorry, but that's to get to that. That Allah talks about signs and symbols, talks about change, negative change, and return back to the positive state of grace. And so Allah tells us that even when we lost our way, we can, by remembrance, return to that state, a state of diaphany where the light upon light transparently illuminates for the seeker the signs and symbols that make up creation, including oneself, and there, truly, hearts do find rest. And supreme joy is for them, and bliss their journey's end. وَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْهِ آيَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِ إن لله يديل من يشاء ويديه له من أنب الذين آمنوا وتقوا إنه قلوبكم ذكر الله على بذكر الله تقوى إن القلوب. Those who cover up the truth, signs and symbols. If only some sign was sent down upon him from his Lord, say, surely Allah sends astray who he chooses, and he guides to himself all who turn repentant toward him. Those who believe and whose hearts are made tranquil by the remembrance of Allah, surely in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. These practices, repentance, meditation, recitation of Quran, they are all the means back. Guaranteed. That's the track back. And we're all off the track. We're on the side. Allahumma nun alayna bi safar al-marifati wa habla nastakhil al-mur amalati fi ma ba'ina wa nabainaka wa ruskana sittif tawakuli alayka wa husdan zanibika ومنون عليه بكل من يركون يقريب قريب مع الله فمقرون بألفي بدار أرحم الرحيم. Oh Allah, bless us with the clarity of direct knowledge. Grant us the correct behavior and relation between us and you. Endow us with genuine trust in you and with a good opinion of you. And bless us with everything that brings us near to you, combined with benefits in the two abodes, O merciful, O merciful. Thank you for your patience in lending me your mind for a few minutes. Anybody have any questions, comments, evaluations? We'll pass now. Sister. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fi.
First of all, I would like to comment that a lot of the people that came into Islam were attracted to it because it was constructed in a way whereas there was a structure of a way of living. So maybe we could say through the Sharia. By you being experienced in many different pathways and through of them, do you have a feeling that nowadays we tend to not focus on trying to balance the way of living, the Sharia and the spiritual world? Because I see a lot of, you know, students my age and stuff like that are very attracted to, you know, spirituality and the, you know, the inside and the outside and nothing in between, you know, this whole ideology. But I feel like if we're not very grounded in the Sharia itself, we're going to get there and really not get there. You know, we'll be stuck for so long. And not to minimize it, I feel like the Sharia in the world of Haqiqa is only a drop in an ocean. But would you please comment on, you know, the fact that how
to find a balance and how sometimes people tend to jump over that and, you know, something. Well, of course, you know, all people are different and different people need different things. Let's start there. And some people need rules and regulations. And some people need inspiration only. And some people need to have someone to point the way. You know, some people come to me and they say, you know, I'm a sheikh, you know, I don't need a sheikh, I don't need a guide, I can do it myself. And I think you're absolutely right. Because nobody needs a sheikh until they need a sheikh. I didn't need one until I needed one. Nobody needs one until I need one. Guru, sheikh, whatever you want to call them. You don't need it until you need. You don't need gas in your car until it runs out of gas. And so we can't make one statement about everyone. And when we see there are trends, of course. We understand that Sharia means a well-trodden path, huh? And I think most of us, there are some of us, who might want to go out into the mountains and walk through the woods randomly without knowing where we were going in the path. Alhamdulillah. And in fact, today I heard about somebody like that who was doing that in different parts of the world, and unfortunately was killed in Chile because he didn't know where he was going, and he came into a camp of, you know, banditos or whatever you want to call them, the revolutionaries, and they killed him. So maybe that's a symbolic response in some way to that. How we look, from my understanding, and I have tried many different approaches to this subject. I have studied books on Sharia and you know, and to the level of getting down to every little rule and regulation and everything that's expected. And often it would raise in me a very strong resistance because I didn't understand. And the whole reason I started on this journey 50-some years ago was because I wanted to understand. I didn't want to just be told what to do. I wanted to understand what I was being told had meaning to it. And so I came to an understanding that through certain practices, what evolves, emerges from you, is the core of what is the core of what most people refer to as Sharia. And when you then come face to face with Sharia, as in the Quran and Hadith and the traditions, then it makes sense to you because it's coming from inside of you, and it's giving you a structure for what is coming sort of randomly from your understanding and your thoughts. That's mine. Other people need to have the structure from the beginning. And most people, I must say, I think, I don't know, I haven't polled everybody in the university, but most people, I would guess, are satisfied with that. Satisfied with that kind, with the effort it takes to follow and to be guided and to know that they're doing what is correct, what is right. But then on the other hand, you know, one of the problems that happened in Judaism was that people became obsessed with the rules and the regulations and the laws. And consequently, it lost its core spirit for many people. I think that place in between that you're talking about and that reflecting what I was saying is a place where a person is encouraging themselves or encouraging others to be conscious, to ask questions, but to do the things that bring out the best quality of action and best quality of adab, of courtesy, and best quality of language and the best quality of service. And then the Sharia becomes clear. Because you see it reflected in the seerah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you see it in the Aliyah. And you see that the same message is given by all the Anbiya to every era. And again, you see it both as real, because you're applying it, and symbolic. And these are signs of Allah. And when you come to that point and you realize that this is arising from within yourself, and yet it is exactly what is holding you, then that divine presence, the word, even the concept in English of divine presence, has a lot of meaning. It's not just God is present, but the presence of Allah is tasted and felt within you. So my way of understanding it, as limited as it may be, is in outward form to do those things which Sharia encourages, and inwardly to do those things which require one to be submitted and to be grateful and to be humble, which is Islam. To make intentions to do that, and to know that, as Prophet Muhammad said, that actions follow the intentions, so be comfortable in those intentions, and to realize that looking at something is not necessarily seeing it. And so one wants to see it, and so mushahada, to try to be a witness. We say, I bear witness to. We want to really be a witness to that. I accept it, I'm looking at it, I'm saying it. You want to be a witness to it, to that reality. Does that help, bro?
Okay,
thank you. I think I've taken up all my time. Anything else quickly? I'd just like to say at the end then that, you know, I invite you to look at some of the work we tried to do in our quote-unquote secular organization, Legacy International, which is a way of applying these concepts and principles and science in very, very practical ways throughout the world, with youth and leadership and conflict prevention, what I call preemptive peace work, development work. Because I think unless we reach out from the theoretical, we have to have both this inner practice and this outer manifestation. That's the way it's created. And there's a lot of complexity in these symbols, right? If everything creation, as I say, are symbols, as Allah says, and I'm reporting to you again, look at all the complexity within each one of these symbols. Symbols of marriage and friendship and work and international issues and politics, and all very complex. There's a lot of work to be done. So as you develop inwardly, there's a lot of places to find where you can apply that inner knowledge and that inner ability. And as you work on seemingly intractable issues in the outer world, Maybe you're a surgeon and you cut off somebody and you open somebody and you've never seen what you've seen before. You have a basis for understanding how to act. It's very restrictive. Thank you. God bless you. Pray that Allah sustains you and give you all good health and long life, prosperity, so that you may use all those blessings for the benefits of others. And so your service to others will be a benefit to you. Assalamu alaikum.